My next guest believes you can tell how well a society is doing by the health of all its people. Sir Michael Marmot is Professor of Epidemiology at the University College London, and he's currently in New Zealand at the World Conference on Health Promotion. Welcome to RN Drive.
Thank you.
You've been involved in researching health inequalities for the past 30 years. Why do you think the gap is widening?
When we see a widening gap, it's usually because the social conditions that mark the two groups, or three groups, however many groups we're looking at, but the social conditions are unequal between the groups that we're comparing. So, for example, when we look at the United Kingdom, what we see is that, in general, health has been improving, but that improvement slowed down over the last 5 or 6 years, and slowed down quite markedly. And a big part of the slowdown was because, particularly for women living in more deprived areas, life expectancy actually declined. And that is a marker of inequalities in social conditions between people living in more deprived areas and people living in more affluent areas.
So I suppose the big question out of that is, how do we close it?
I've done a number of looks at the evidence, and looking within countries, I suggest the evidence pointed to six areas which account for the inequalities and where we need to take action through the life course. So number one, give every child the best start in life, promote good early child development. Number two, education and lifelong learning. Number three, employment and working conditions. Number four sounds really radical for a rich society. Everybody should have at least the minimum income necessary to lead a healthy life. Number five, healthy and sustainable environments in which to live and work, and that includes housing, communities, and of course the wider environmental issues. And number six is dealing with prevention, but what I call taking a social determinants approach to prevention. So we know smoking, drinking to excess, wrong diet, lack of physical activity are important, but we need to look at the causes of those causes. Why, for example, there are big inequalities in smoking, in heavy drinking, in lack of physical activity, in poor diet.
You've been quoted as saying, what good does it do to treat people and then send them back to the conditions that made them sick in the first place? So how much more should health practitioners do then?
Well, what you've just quoted was the opening line of my book, The Health Gap, and I lay out the evidence for those six domains that I just mentioned in The Health Gap. And then it's a big challenge. What can health practitioners do? The question often gets asked, and I've been asked by ministers of health, how much does health care account for the health of populations, and particularly inequalities in the health of populations? And it's a good question for a minister of health to ask, because in general, they control the health care budget, but not budgets for these other social determinants of health that I've just described. It's hard to give a precise answer, but it's probably of the order of 15 to 20% of population health can be attributed to spending on health care. That means that if people whose primary concern is health, doctors, nurses, other health professionals, want really to do something about the health of the population, they have to ask, what can they do about the wider determinants of health? And I suggest five areas where it's important to take action. The first is education and training, so that people in the health care domain understand the social determinants of health. The second is seeing the patient in a broader perspective. So, for example, if you're treating the illness of someone who's homeless, it makes little sense to send them back onto the street. You need to deal with the environment from which they came. The third is the health system. As employer, employs lots of people, not just doctors and nurses, but drivers, clerks, cleaners, and the like. And, of course, the health system has impact on the community. The fourth is working in partnership. Now, paediatricians, gerontologists understand this very well. They already do it. Paediatricians are concerned with healthy children. That means getting involved with the care of children, good early child development, and similarly at the other end of life, getting involved with social services that support older people and help them to remain independent. And the fifth is advocacy.
We've seen Australian doctors petition the government over offshore immigration detention. Dr. Karen Phelps, a former AMA president and now independent MP, was instrumental in helping change the law so that asylum seekers who need medical assistance can be transferred to the Australian mainland. Is that the kind of activism that you'd like to see more of?
Absolutely. I think the Australian medical profession said it's wrong. It's simply wrong to house people in inhuman conditions. It can't be supported. I've been arguing, for example, that economic policies that make child poverty worse should be changed. This is not arguing for a particular government or a particular political party. It's arguing for whatever party happens to be in government, that they should not pursue policies that make child poverty worse. And I argue that from a health point of view, because if you make child poverty worse, other things equal, you will make health inequalities worse. So I think we need to be looking at the evidence for the social and economic conditions that are likely to impact on health and health inequalities, and argue for change from a health point of view.
Sir Michael Marmot, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Sir Michael is the director of the Institute for Health Equity and professor of epidemiology and public health at the University College London. And this is RN Drive.